Welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm Dustin Roberts, the outreach minister here on staff. And for the next half hour, I'll also be your host as Rabbi gives us a blueprint of the end times. Eschatology. It's a big word that simply means the study of last things. And today on our program, Rabbi Schneider is going to take us on a journey through the Feast of Passover, because it's through this special set-apart feast day that we find the details about the end times. And we'll also discover how Passover gives us a pattern regarding the Great Tribulation and Jesus' return. So let's get started. Rabbi Schneider is going to open this special Passover message with prayer.
Father God, we love you today. We worship you. I pray, Father, that your word would run swiftly by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Father, thank you that your word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. We pray that it would make entrance into our hearts today and change our lives for the glory of King Jesus and for your name's sake. Amen and amen. Well, this is the Passover season, beloved ones. You know, when we go through the Passover Seder, which is the special meal that we celebrate each Passover season, at the very end of the meal, we turn our attention to a place setting at the table where no one is actually sitting. The plate is there, there's a cup of wine that's there, but no one is actually sitting there. And that special seat where no one is sitting, it's called Elijah's seat. And that special cup of wine is called Elijah's cup. And the reason that that setting and cup is there is it's an invitation for Elijah to come back. And the reason that we invite Elijah to come back at Passover is because we are looking for the next deliverer. Now, as believers in Jesus, you and I know that that next deliverer has come. But the Jewish world is still waiting for the second Moses, for the second deliverer. And the Bible tells us in the book of Malachi that before the day of the Lord comes, Malachi says that Elijah is going to come first. So at the Passover Seder, Jewish people celebrate how Moses delivered them out of Egypt 3,500 years ago, but they're also looking for the next deliverer. They're looking for the second Moses. Because in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 15, the writer of Scripture writes that the Lord will raise up, he's quoting Moses' words there. Moses is actually writing it about himself. And Moses actually says, the Lord is going to raise up for you a prophet from amongst you like myself. Listen to him. That same passage of Scripture, Deuteronomy 18:15, is quoted in the book of Acts when Peter says that Jesus is that deliverer whom Moses spoke of. So Jewish people at the Passover Seder, they're waiting for Deuteronomy 18:15 to be fulfilled, but they know that the great deliverer won't come until Elijah comes first, because the book of Malachi tells us that before Messiah comes, Elijah will come and announce his coming. And so we set that cup out at Passover Seder, Elijah's cup, because we're waiting for the deliverer to come. We're waiting for the end times deliverer to come. So Passover, beloved ones, points to the end times for traditional Jewish people, but it also points to the end times for you and I today in a different way. Because you see, Passover is a blueprint for understanding how the Great Tribulation and the return of Jesus will manifest on earth. Some of you have studied what we call eschatology, which is the study of the end times. And eschatology asks the questions, at what point will Jesus return? The Lord showed me years ago that the way to understand events that are associated with Jesus' return, we see the blueprint for understanding this when we study the Passover story. Now, let me just give you some illustrations of this. That the lamb that the Israelites slayed 3,500 years ago that brought them their deliverance, that lamb is a symbol and a shadow of King Jesus. How do we know that? As soon as he walked out of the Jordan River, John the Baptist pointed to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," identifying Jesus with the ancient Passover that the children of Israel experienced out of Egypt. 29 times in the book of Revelation, Jesus is referred to as the Lamb. So the gospel of Jesus is put in the context of Passover. So we can understand end times by also studying the Passover. So in the Passover story, the lamb is the foreshadowing of Jesus, the Messiah, who's the Lamb of God. Pharaoh in the Passover is a shadow, get it now, of Satan. Satan is the one that was controlling Pharaoh. Now, Israel, of course, was in Egypt. They were the ones that Pharaoh was persecuting. And even as Israel was being oppressed in Egypt, the church, beloved one, is being oppressed in this world today because Jesus said to the church, I know where you live in the book of Revelation. Jesus said to the church, you live where Satan's throne is. We are in a world of darkness. And even though we're protected in the darkness, we still feel the effects of the darkness. And we still feel the effect of sin in the world. And we still have to warfare through this life. And even as Moses became the deliverer that God raised up to bring Israel out of Egypt, so too Jesus is the fulfillment of Deuteronomy 18:15 and has become the deliverer that brings the church, beloved, to the very presence of God. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, and I'm going to bring you to myself, that where I am, you can also be. You see, Passover is the celebration of freedom. And Jesus came to deliver us from darkness, to bring us into his marvelous light, and to bring us, hallelujah, into freedom so that Jesus becomes the fulfillment of Moses, who was a shadow of Jesus. I want you to consider this, that in the ancient Passover, 3,500 years ago, Moses and Aaron called down plagues on Egypt. At God's command, they turned the Nile River to blood. They caused flies and lice to cover the land. They caused giant hailstones to fall. And on and on and on, Moses and Aaron called down the plagues in Egypt. Did you know we read in the book of Revelation that during the very end times, that God has two witnesses that will call forth plagues from heaven down upon the earth? Just as Moses and Aaron called down plagues upon ancient Egypt, God has two plagues. Let me read it for you in the book of Revelation. I'm going now to Revelation chapter number 11, verses number 3 and 6. The Lord says, I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And then continuing verse number 6, these have the power to shut up the sky, and that the rain will not fall during the days of their prophesying. And they will have power over the waters to turn them into blood, just like Moses and Aaron turned the Nile to blood, and to strike the earth and every plague as often as they desire. And so we see again the same themes that were operating in ancient Egypt 3,500 years ago during the Passover experience will be happening on the earth during the end times as Jesus is leading his people out into total deliverance. And not only that, but did you know that almost identically, the plagues that fell upon Egypt locally meaning that they fell only on Egypt, they didn't fall on all the nations, they only fell on Egypt, that the plagues that fell upon Egypt locally during the Lord's deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, those same plagues almost identically will fall upon the world globally during the Great Tribulation. And so think about it. God caused giant hailstones to fall upon Egypt. We see giant hailstones fall upon the earth during the Great Tribulation. God caused the land of Egypt to be covered by frogs. We read in the book of Revelation that during the Great Tribulation, the earth's going to be covered with frogs. We find that in the book of Exodus, that God, during the deliverance of Israel, caused darkness to fall over the land of Egypt. We read in the book of Revelation that during the tribulation, God's going to call darkness to fall upon the earth. And then finally, the great plague, the plague of death, fell upon ancient Egypt, even as death is going to smite the earth during, beloved ones, the Great Tribulation.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back. If you're looking to better equip yourself in your study, pursuit, and growth in Jesus the Messiah, be sure to go online and explore our treasury of Messianic content. You'll find Messianic teaching tools and videos, information about God's 7 annual feasts, the Hebrew names, titles of God, and so much more. This content is ready and available for you today online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. So become a blessing in someone's life today, get in touch to partner with us. Our mission is to prepare the world for Jesus' return, and your financial gift is channeled directly toward this worthy cause. Take your first step today by calling 800-777-7835. That's 800-777-7835. Or visit us at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Your contribution will equip others for Messiah's return. And now here is Rabbi Schneider with the rest of today's message.
At the conclusion of the plagues, after the last plague, the plague of death, Pharaoh said to Israel, okay, go. I don't want any more judgments coming upon me. So Israel ventures out of Egypt. They come to the Red Sea. But what happened? Pharaoh changed his mind. That's the way Satan is. The only thing he understands is power. And as soon as you take the pressure off him, as soon as you take authority off him, he rises up again because inside he is rebellion. And that's exactly the power that Pharaoh is operating under. So Pharaoh changes his mind. He begins to pursue Israel. Israel's at the edge of the sea now, the Sea of Reeds or the Red Sea. They can't go forward because the sea's in front of them. They can't go backward because Pharaoh and the armies of Egypt are behind them. So what happens? Get this now. God supernaturally, get this now, God supernaturally, beloved one, parts the sea. And Israel passes safely through the sea to the other side. Now they're moving into the promised land. Of course, they have some wilderness they need to get through, but now they're out of Egypt. The sea had parted and they're on the other side now. What happens? Egypt tries to pursue them. God drowns them all in the sea. Here's what I want you to get. The parting of the sea, which was Israel's supernatural redemption, is a symbol, get it now, of the rapture. Even as the sea was parted and Israel supernaturally was translated out of the land of Egypt to the other side, so the sky is going to part for us, beloved, and we're going to be translated out of this world into the presence of God Himself and into our promised land. But I want you to consider this with me for a second. At what point did the sea part? Did the sea part for Israel right when the plagues began to fall? No. The sea parted for Israel. God parted the Red Sea at the end of the plagues, right after the 10th plague, the plague of death. And in the same way, I believe the church will be in the world for many of the plagues that will fall upon the world during the tribulation. Let me say it again. Even as Israel was in Egypt, as the plagues were falling, I believe the church will be in the world during the time of the tribulation when the plagues are falling. Now, we'll be protected here, but we're still going to be feeling the effect of some of the plagues. In other words, when the rivers turn to blood, everybody that's living on earth experiences what that brings. But yet there's going to be a supernatural protection and a supernatural provision. Now listen, the church will not be in the world for what the Bible calls in the book of Revelation, the seven bowls of wrath. See, the seven bowls of wrath are the equivalents of God drowning Egypt in the sea. Again, remember, Israel was in Egypt for the first 10 plagues. But then the final plague, you could say, that fell upon Egypt is when God drowned them all in the sea. And so in the same way, the church will be in the world for the first part of the tribulation. But then when we move into the great tribulation, when the plagues escalate and escalate, right before that, it's called the seven bowls of wrath in the book of Revelation, before the plagues really intensify, which is at the point in Revelation called the seven bowls of wrath, God will deliver the church out of the world. We won't be here for that, even as Israel was delivered out of the sea before the sea came down and drowned all the Egyptians. Now, we have to be prepared, beloved ones, to go through hard times. Again, we're going to be delivered before the final bowls of God's judgment fall upon the world. But we're going to be in the world for much of the end times events, which is going to bring hardship on the world. Now, this shouldn't make you afraid, because God's going to be with us. God's going to strengthen us. So this is nothing to be afraid of. This is actually going to bring the church together. This is actually going to bring the church into unity with each other. And we're going to see more miracles and a greater demonstration of God's glory and light than ever before. And so this is, in many respects, something to celebrate because it means that we're getting closer to meeting Jesus face to face, and because it also means that a greater dimension of God's glory is going to be revealed to his saints during this time. Now listen, no one fully understands how the end times is going to work out. But I think we have an idea of how it's going to work out. And I personally believe that what I'm sharing with you, beloved ones, is the truth because it's based on the pattern of the Passover. But if I'm wrong, you lose nothing for taking this seriously because what I'm suggesting that you do is get serious about living for God today. So that if you need to go through the tribulation on earth until the end of it, you'll be strong, you'll be ready, you won't be shocked. If I'm right, and you don't take this word seriously, and you don't get serious about living for God, you don't get ready to face hardship as a soldier, as the scriptures admonish us, then what's going to happen if you're not ready, and I am right, and the tribulation comes, and you're in the world, what happens if you're not strong enough to go through it because you never prepared yourself for it? You see, beloved, we need to be ready to go through hard times. Jesus never promised us that it was all going to be easy. Think about what Jesus had to go through to complete his mission. He had to go through Jerusalem. Most of his ministry was spent in Galilee. He only went to Jerusalem when it was time for him to be killed. Think about the Apostle Paul, all that he had to endure. He had to be in prison for much of his ministry. See, beloved, a lot of times Christians today don't understand that being a believer doesn't mean that you won't have to go through hard times. In fact, the Bible says, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And what I've shown you today, as we've looked at the Passover story, as a blueprint for understanding the end times is this, that even as Pharaoh was putting Israel in bondage, so too the devil is the oppressor of God's children today. Even as Israel was delivered by the blood of the Lamb, so you and I, beloved ones, are delivered by the blood of the Lamb today. And even as Israel was in Egypt for those first 10 plagues, so I believe the church is in the world through much of the tribulation. And we need to face it. We need to be ready for it. We can't hide from it. We can't pretend that it's not real. If you look at the pages of Scripture, you'll see that God's people have had to face hardship in their life. Unlike much of the end times theology that's out there today that teaches that God's just going to instantly bring all of his people out of the world before anything bad happens here. I don't think that you can justify that from Scripture. And like I said, if I'm wrong, you have lost nothing for preparing yourself. In other words, church, if I'm wrong and God takes you out of the world before the tribulation ever happens, then I've done you no disservice by telling you to get ready. I believe you're going to go through it. But if I'm right and you don't heed this word and you don't get ready, what's going to happen when you have to face the tribulation and you're not ready to go through hardship because you've never disciplined yourself to be a soldier for God? So I'm admonishing you right now, church. I'm speaking to you, beloved one, right now, get ready. I believe you're going to go through the tribulation. Don't be scared. God's going to be with you. It's going to be your greatest day. God's going to become more real to you than you've ever known him in your life. His glory is going to surround you in a way that you've never experienced before, because when it's darkest, God's glory shines brighter. Church, it's going to be your greatest day. We're going to see more people healed. We're going to see more people saved. We're going to walk in greater power. We're going to see the church more unified than ever as the church comes into unity during the end times. You see, when the world becomes so difficult to live in, denominations aren't going to be arguing with each other about minor points of theology. All that stuff's going to become meaningless. We're going to have to get unified as a church to go through the tribulation together, holding up the banner of Jesus, unified as one in love. And beloved, the church is going to be triumphant, for the Lord has said, neither death nor life nor things past, things present or things to come shall separate you from my love. No, you are more than a conqueror in all these things. God loves you, and he's got a destiny for you, beloved, that's greater than you've ever imagined. Eye is not seen, and ear is not heard, and never has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for you that love him. I love you today, beloved. God bless you. Chag Sameach. Happy Passover to you. And in Yeshua's name, be ready. Shalom.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and our Bible teacher is Rabbi Schneider. Today's message was titled, A Blueprint of the End Times. And if you'd like to hear it again, or even share it with a friend who might need to hear this important and timely message, you can do that on our website when you visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com. You know, Rabbi said we need to be ready to face our destiny. And that's why this program is so important. Rabbi has such a heart and passion for connecting the Old and the New Testaments together, along with sharing the deeper meanings of the feast days and the holidays for us. And when you come alongside this ministry, you can help us take the good news to places around the world where these straightforward messages need to be heard the most.
As believers in Messiah Yeshua or Jesus, we can sometimes become confused about the relationship between the law and the grace of God that's been revealed to us in the New Testament. But consider that Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 7, verse 12, that the law is holy, spiritual, righteous, and good. We're not under the law, but yet there are spiritual applications that we can apply to our lives today from it. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 16, we read that the Israelites were to come to Jerusalem during the Passover season to present a special offering to Yahweh, their God, at this time. As those of us that are not under the law, but are moved by the love of God, we have found oftentimes with our partners and constituents, those that are benefiting from discovering the Jewish Jesus, that they're moved to present a special love offering to God during this time, just like Israel did. If you're moved, beloved, today to present a special love offering to Father during this time, I want to thank you in advance for your love of God and support of this ministry.
To support this ministry with a special Passover gift of any amount, just visit us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com or give us a call. One of our team members will be happy to talk to you when you call us at 800-777-7835. You can also partner with us by text. Just type the keyword rabbi to the number 45777. Thank you so much for valuing Rabbi's teaching and wanting to see this ministry thrive so that more people can understand their identity in Jesus right now and in the years to come. When you give to this ministry, we'll say thank you by sending you a monthly teaching CD or an audio download that's designed to speak truth, faith, and revelation into your life, along with a copy of our latest newsletter. And for those of you who are new monthly partners, we'll also send you an authentic shofar that's been handcrafted in Israel. You know, the shofar, it's an ancient musical instrument that has so much meaning and symbolism for believers and Jewish people all around the globe. And its sound, it's meant to awaken hearts and minds. We'd love to send you one when you sign up to become a new monthly partner. Just visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com to learn more. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but before we close, let's turn our attention to Rabbi Schneider once again with a special blessing.
In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, the Lord gave instructions to Moses and Aaron to speak this blessing over his people. And the Lord said, "When you speak these words over my people, I will place my name on them and bless them." Receive the impartation of the Lord's blessings.
Yavarechech Yahweh Vayishmarecha Ya'er Yahweh Panav Elecha V'hunecha Yisa Yahweh P'nav Elecha Ve'asem Lecha
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up by his countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, his peace. God bless you, and shalom.
Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Join us again when Rabbi Schneider reveals God's plan for the Jewish people. It's a lesson in messianic prophecy, and you can hear it Wednesday right here on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.